forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience. Providing counseling from a Christian perspective, he specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Well, I'll start at 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, in light of Jesus' victory over sin, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, that's a wonderful verse of scripture right there. See, people have to understand, God's not angry with you when you mess up. He don't want you to mess up. He wants you to grow up. But you have to understand something. See, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But God is not angry. He's for you. He's an advocate. He wants to secure you. He's your aid. He's the one that you know, he least wants to see you mess up or miss the mark. But you have, and when you have, God is there to help you. There's a throne of grace. And he says, you don't have to go and hide among the trees and put fig leaves on, but rather come boldly. See, this is the thing about human nature, especially when people mess up. You know, when people can be bold when everything, all cylinders are clicking, you know, everything. But when they mess up, you know, people kind of shy away there. You know, even with you, when they owe you some money and they ain't paid you, they were supposed to pay you last Friday, and then it's Sunday, you know, you're kind of walking away. Well, that's how we are. That's how we are with God. But that's why he said, come boldly. Because you've messed up and you've fallen doesn't mean that I've changed. And your standing hasn't changed. We're going to get into this. This is a foundation that you must lay if you're really going to experience destiny. And all that God wants to do through your life, because it's bigger than you. It's bigger than a set of rules. You understand? Now, God wants, you know, us to live holy. He gives us an enabling to live holy. But you have to understand this other aspect, because people start to kick themselves and be condemned and allow the devil to get in their ear. And all kind of stuff happened because they missed the mark. But the Lord is saying, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne to find help, to find mercy, to find grace, to find enabling in your time of need. Oh, we like to go to the throne when we think we got it all together. You know, it ain't no problem. I'll get up in there with God and talk. But what about when you've messed up, when something, you know, when you know your spirit is wrong, your attitude is a little awry, you know, and you know, people, their human nature tends to shy away. But God is saying, no, that's the time you really need to come boldly to my throne. Amen? So the greatest hindrance, now this is what I really want to get into, because I think this will really help many of us. The greatest hindrance to our boldness when we have a need is the responses of people in our lives and conditions surrounding our life. But the greatest hindrance to our coming to the throne of God with boldness when we need something or when we've missed the mark, when we're repenting before, is the responses of people. You see, God is always willing and ready to forgive, but people ain't. Come on, don't shout me down. No, I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody else. But God is always willing to see, and because of our experience with people, sometimes we think God is like people. Like God is waiting up there with his arms folded, looking at us like, because people do that. Maybe your parents were harsh and unbending and very legalistic, and that has very little value because it hasn't taught a person grace. And it'll only take you so far because God is a God of grace. And that word means enabling. In order to receive God enabling, you must be able to receive his grace. Without his grace, you have gifts, you have talents, you have strength of your own, but it can only take you so far. And it won't bring about the results that God desires or has designed for your life. It's his grace that will, okay? Although God is merciful and always ready to forgive, people ain't. You cannot allow the responses of people around you to affect your honesty before God. See that's sometimes. Sometimes relationships enter in and stuff in your environment enter in, persecutions enter in, and stuff even where you've missed the mark enter in, and it starts to squeeze your relationship with God. You think like God is mad too, like God joined in their side. Oh Lord, why is this happening? Stuff happens. But God said, I am God and I change not. You know, when pressure's on you, think about it. When everything is well, you know, it's easy to praise. It's like, you know God love you. But what about when ain't nothing going right? Think about where your mind, your attitude is, and you've been hurt. You got in an argument and now you're feeling bad. And all that. Now you're not feeling good about God. Tell somebody your feelings lie. Come on, tell them your emotions will lie too. God said, I'm God and I change not. When you got in that argument, God didn't get mad. I need to help. Somebody needs some help this morning. I want you to get this whole series. We may go all year in this series on grace. It may cost you $1,000, but I want everybody to buy a series on this grace because you need to hear all the messages, all the stuff, because it's manifold. Understand this. You have to understand this. When people, even people close to you or people you look up to, when they miss the mark and they get mad, that doesn't mean that God is mad. But we can tend to kind of, put up walls and be insecure because of the responses of people. Let me tell you something. Just like with Paul, as we talked about last time, when Paul received that great revelation, God allowed or God sent a thorn into his flesh. It was sent by God or allowed by God, a messenger of Satan, in order to keep Paul from being exalted above measure so that God could continue to come to him and talk to him and minister to him and give him more revelation. Paul didn't understand it at first. He sought to get rid of it at whatever cost, but he wanted God's will. So when God revealed it to him, he said, therefore, I will take pleasure now in persecution. Who takes pleasure in persecution? See, if you understand and your heart toward God is right, then you can take pleasure. You can rejoice in it. The word says rejoice when you're reviled and persecuted and all men speak all manner of evil against you. How many people really do that? You know, somebody talk about the average saint. Instead of cutting a step in church, they'll be sitting down. They're usually on the first row, but they'll be sitting on the back row. Or they'll be struggling just to come to church. So I got this nerd talking about me. But the word says, learn how to rejoice. God's not saying that just to be saying it. See, God is very strategic. God is a designer. He knows where your victory is. He's not just saying rejoice. He's not sadistic and, mean and, oh, Lord, how can I rejoice in it? He's telling you that for a reason. Because he knows your breakthrough, the answer to your problem, amen, overcoming and triumph is on the other side of a praise. Amen. It's right there. He knows it. That's how he designed things. That's why the enemy wants to try to shut your mouth. or he'll try to get into your emotions or into your mind with thoughts and imaginations and start lying to you with your emotions. Because there are times you don't feel like God is in control. You don't feel like God is blessing you. But I'm here to declare to you this morning, whether you feel like it or not, you are destined to be blessed. You are his favorite. You are a child of the living God. Amen. You are destined for his blessing, his best. Whether you feel like it or not. There are days you feel like it and there are days you don't feel like it. You better bring them feelings under control and say, I'm going anyway. God has been too good to me. He's good anyhow. He's good in the midst of this. He's good in pleasure. He's good in persecution. He's good in infirmity. He's good when I'm sick. He's still good. Just like he brought me out before, he'll bring me out again. Amen. You can't allow the responses of people to affect your honesty before Christ and your trust, because people fail you or people hurt you. Don't you stop trusting in God. See, you can't allow the responses of people, especially if you're gifted, if you're called out, God separate you unto himself. That comes with a price tag. If you don't know. I think it was just the last service. I did the example. I use this example a lot. A woman saw a dress in a store window, and she liked it a lot. So much that she stopped by when she got opportunity and went in and tried the dress on. Her color, her style, perfect fit. She raised the sleeve up and looked at the price tag on it, and suddenly the dress lost all its value. Because the price was too high. See, folks see things they like. Oh, perfect, but there's a price on it. Tell somebody, I can pay that price. My father's rich. Amen. Though people may reject you, God has never rejected you. That's why my thinking doesn't stop with people. You can say good things. You can say bad things. You can say suggestions. You can say, I receive a lot of things, a lot of instruction, but it doesn't stop there. I take all that to God. God, what's your mind on this? What do you think about this? How do you feel about this? What's your direction with this? Amen? Can't let it stop there. Now, you have to understand something. His throne is a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. Remember, come boldly. It didn't say come boldly to the throne of judgment. Saint of God.
Thank you for joining us as we continue Manifold Grace, Part 10 of Mega Grace Series. Hebrews 4:16 states, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The thorn in Paul's flesh was brought on by God. He sought to get rid of it at whatever cost, but once he pursued God, he learned how to rejoice in that state. Jesus conquered sin and death once and for all.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.